This is topic 2.6. Describe the properties of gas exchange surfaces in living organisms. Large surface area to volume ratio, thickness of surface, difference in concentration, and explain how the structure of the mammalian lung is adapted for rapid gaseous exchange. When we're looking at diffusion surfaces, we can use Fick's law, which states that the diffusion rate is proportional to the surface area multiplied by the concentration difference divided by the thickness of the exchange membrane. So if your surface area for diffusion increases, then the rate of diffusion increases. If concentration difference increases across that membrane, then the rate of diffusion increases. And if the thickness of that exchange membrane increases, then your rate of diffusion decreases. So what are we looking for in our gas exchange surfaces? High surface area, high concentration difference, very thin membrane for it to occur across. And animals have a pretty varied way of solving these problems. Invertebrates have spiracles all the way down their trunks, which end in tracheoles, so tubes with a dead end, that end directly in the respiring tissues. Now that end is where the oxygen diffuses into the tissues, carbon dioxide diffuses out again. You've got your high surface area because they're very thin tubes and you've got lots of them. And you've got a high concentration gradient, because that's air directly from the outside environment going to the tissues. Other invertebrates have adapted gills for this purpose, again with high surface area. Fish are doing something a bit more special with their gills. Unlike other animals, they have a countercurrent. So the water flow is pumped over the gills in the opposite direction to where blood flow is coming. So water flow is in the opposite direction to blood flow. That maximizes the concentration gradient, so you have the greatest possible oxygen uptake in the gills. And that's really important, especially if you're living in rather boggy, choked environments. Mammals have solved the problem in different ways, and we've got lungs. So you should recall from GCSE that connecting our mouth and our nose to the lungs is a single tube called the trachea. That tube branches into two bronchi. The singular for that is bronchus. And the bronchi divide further into bronchioles. And the bronchioles end and terminate in alveoli, little air-filled sacs, which are in very close proximity to the blood vessels, the capillaries that are going to be involved in picking up oxygen and getting rid of carbon dioxide. The surface area is massive. If you rolled out our alveoli, I think they would certainly approach the surface area of a football pitch or thereabouts. The membranes are very thin, and the diffusion concentration gradient is massive. When we breathe, we're relying on paired antagonistic muscles to move. Muscles can't relax themselves, they relax as their pair contracts. So we've got our external intercostal muscles contracting as we inhale. That pushes the rib cage up and out. That increases the volume along with the contraction of the diaphragm. If it increases the volume of the lungs, then that's decreasing the pressure in the lungs, so air is forced in. When we breathe out again, the external intercostals relax, and if we're forcing it out, the internal intercostals contract. The diaphragm relaxes, and other muscles such as the sternomastoid and the abdominal muscles only will contract to try and force air out again. Okay, so you've got antagonistic muscle pairs. They may not necessarily all be in the same place at the same time. Okay.